We are the body of Christ, and if Adria is hurting, we're all hurting.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches.
Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. And today you are listening to episode number 5 called Lead the Conversation. It is where our listeners get to follow up on last week's podcast, where we discussed our pillars of laughter and friendship. Today's listening guests are Adria Stucker, hailing from Kentucky, and Christy White, calling in from Arkansas. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
So first off, we would probably just like to get you guys to tell us a little bit about your families. Adria, would you like to start?
Oh, of course. Thank you. So I'm Adria. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm originally from Morgantown, West Virginia. I've got a husband named Jason and 2 children. My son Hampton is 8 in second grade, and my daughter Hadley is 5, about to be 6 soon, in kindergarten.
No. Fun. I think I read too, you said you're a convert to the faith.
Yes, I am. I am. So, simple answer to that would be I married a Catholic man. but yeah, so that was when my son was a baby. So I came into the church in 2009.
Wonderful. Well, welcome home. I think the grace is contagious, right?
it's just, yes, it's amazing. And I would never have been able to foresee the graces and the gift of it. And it just keeps growing. It just keeps getting bigger and more interesting and more full. And it's just really been one of the best things of my life. Love it.
That's wonderful. Okay, Miss Christy, tell us about yourself.
Okay. I'm Christy. I'm married to my husband, Tim. We have 5 kids. I'm a convert as well. We have been married for 20 years. My oldest is in college, and we homeschool the rest. I have 2 kids that are on the spectrum, autism spectrum, so that makes it really fun around our house.
Yeah, no, that's great. And just a little, I get to know Christy because we're in the same homeschool co-op, so I think that's just a fun little tidbit to share with our listener. And our girls did ballet together, so...
Yes.
I get to know Christy in real life. Okay, Adria, let's start with you.
Oh, sure.
So you made a comment on Instagram, and you said, episode 4 was my first, and I just loved it. Way to go, ladies. Thanks. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. So many times I thought, me too. Mm-hmm. I'll be listening to more. So is there anything in particular that you can remember that you want to start the conversation about?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I love so many parts of it. And I love that you brought on your good friends. That was so touching to hear. And how Marie was talking about, well, one of the first things I remember is when Marie was saying about just kind of letting people in. And I related to that in the fact that I've got a mom, I've got a sister who I would call my very best friends, and they're out of state. So they're still home where I'm from, but 6 hours away, but I still talk to them multiple times a day. They're so involved in everything, every aspect of my life and decision-making and just being such good friends that really you kind of get your needs for a friend fulfilled through that. And so while I'm part of this amazing parish community here where my children go to school and where we go to church, there's so many wonderful people. It's just, I kind of have the same issue where letting someone in, I'm like, oh, well, I've got that covered. But yeah, so that really kind of resonated with me a lot. And then what else was another one? Oh, talking about spouses as your best friend, because that is definitely a big one for me and my husband. And I would say he is certainly my best friend, and I can tell him anything. And so we've just, I've got this little bubble of my husband, my mom, my sister, and it's like, oh, I want to expand that, and I want to branch out and have, you know, other close friends. And so it was so inspiring to hear you know, Marie and then Megan's good friend. And it just, it really was, I love listening to it. Does anybody else have those struggles with isolation in terms of maybe not, just like you said, at one point, I think Becky, you had been, you're surrounded by people, you've got a community of people, but at times you still can feel like you are a little isolated. And it's such mm-hmm. a strange feeling, especially having, you know, you've got right. a large family, you homeschool, you've got so many fun things going on in your life, and yet you still have that kind of just weird
right.
feeling. I don't know what that is.
mm-hmm. Right. Well, I just think that we're kind of fed on in different ways. And yeah. I think, I bet Christy can really talk to this only because I know her. I'm not trying to put her on the spot, but I think even though we're so surrounded by our children and just busy and mm-hmm. never a quiet moment, that's a negative way of seeing parenting and staying at home and homeschooling. And I don't want to give off a negative vibe, though all of that is very difficult. But I think that sometimes it does not lend to having a lot of quality time. You know, when we were younger and our kids were younger, we would always schedule play dates. Well, once your kids are bigger, you just don't really have time for play dates anymore, or people get spread out. And, you know, Christy moved like 4 towns north. Well, it's going to take us an hour to get to each other now.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah.
And so it's just not as simple. And I think we're people of convenience. And we tend to be closest to those who are physically closest to us.
And it makes me think of the C.S. Lewis quote. I can't remember it verbatim, but it's that idea that longing that can't be fulfilled by anything of this world is when we realize that we truly were made for another world, and to turn to Him when we're feeling a deeper sense of isolation.
I can definitely relate to feeling isolated, feeling lonely, and still being surrounded by so many people. My husband works 2 jobs so that I can stay home and homeschool. So I really just don't see him during the week. And, you know, I mean, really, he is my best friend. I think people go through seasons in their life whenever you are closer. Like before we moved, yes, we were very close to the church and we could meet up with people a lot easier, and I'm still willing to drive, but not necessarily the other way around sometimes.
Yeah.
So it makes it more difficult, but it's just a season, I think, that people are just getting so busy right now and that things are harder. And I used to be more involved in Bible studies and that kind of stuff, and this season of my life has been very difficult because it doesn't seem like there's been time for that, which is the wrong way to look at things. That should be the forefront and everything else is on the back burner. But like I said, the season, it's just not there right now. And I can definitely feel the difference in my life without having that. And mm-hmm. I just need to find the places to go right now from where we are.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, Christy, I loved what you just said about the time element, being moms and having busy lives, and especially the situation with, you know, your husband being gone for most of the week, right? And then you have this really, really small time to connect, and it's also when the kids are trying to unwind and get a lot of things done, and it just, sometimes there's no way to escape that part in those seasons of our life when we have a lot going on. But the thing that really resonated with me, what you said, Christy, was the time. You said about finding the time. And it made me think mm-hmm. of Peter Kreeft talks about time and prayer and about when we can carve out the time that is specifically for God, whether it's 2 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, an hour. The rest of the stuff somehow in our day just will always come together. And I know that in my life, thinking about maybe days that I had a standing holy hour, and I'd wake up and I'd think, I have a million things to do. I literally do not have an hour in the day to just stop and do nothing. even if it's just sitting with him, like I would get that mindset, like I've got to get to the grocery store and, you know, all of those things that are racing through our head. Right. And sometimes I just stop and I think like, okay, but I can't do anything without him. So I'm going to go to adoration. And then there's this freedom and peace that I get there. And then, you know what? End of the day would come and I'd look back and I think, how did I get it all done? It's almost like, you know, somehow he can just orchestrate it so that I can still get it all done. So yeah. You're hearing you say that is a reminder to me in my chaos, time for God first. Everything else will always fall into place.
It's hard whenever you're, you know, trying to find the new places when you move. And it's kind of silly because we're really not that far, but just getting into the, I mean, and we're still at the same parish. We're just driving because we love it there. But, finding the Bible studies and that kind of thing definitely need to be moved up here. But I do miss, I mean, like Becky and I and a couple of girls, we used to get together and do, we did, what was the name of that one, Becky, that we did the teaching from rest.
It was a homeschooling book.
That was awesome. I loved that. I totally miss that. But I need to make it more of a priority.
So Christy, you know, hearing the transitions that you've made in the last couple of years of your life and then needing some other elements, did that part about like praying for that seem right in your heart? Like I think I was talking about on the friendship podcast that I spent a lot of my life not having godly friendships. I think I used to be of that mindset where like praying for friends is like Z on God's list. Like he's got issues that are A, right? Don't we all do that? And then, but you know what? I'm his daughter. And like, if it's important to me, it's important to him. So I was like, okay, like I can pray for that. It's really heavy on my heart. And as I said, he didn't disappoint. I mean, I look back at the folks that he put in my life and it's amazing. So I kind of, I guess I'm encouraging you and giving you that freedom to pray boldly. And it's certainly not Z on his list. Any of those things that you're longing for.
That's definitely after I listened to that podcast, that was the first thing I started doing. I was like, I can't believe I never thought to pray for friends. I mean, and it's not like I don't have friends, but again, like the godly friends that, you know, are close to you, it makes a big difference when you have those people surrounding you. Mm. It makes a huge difference.
Huge.
So, yeah.
That's great.
I've definitely been praying for that. And I've listened to all the podcasts and I have gotten something out of every single one of them. It's kind of filled that void a little bit when I haven't been able to get it yet. So
this is such a generous gift of the Lord and a consolation for Megan and I to hear you say that. And the other comment that we received from the woman with it, who is also a single mom, and she didn't think she would get anything out of it. But mine and Megan's hearts have been so heavy and focused on making this unique, or really pointing out the uniqueness and the universality of our church. We are all God's children, but we're all unique. And it's universal. It's all over. You know what I'm saying? And it's just so important that we don't leave somebody out that's been burning in our hearts. So it's such a gift for the Lord to affirm us in it. And the loneliness, that has been the number one thing that people have talked about through the podcast. Anybody we interview, anybody who's come on Lead the Conversation, every single episode.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
The isolation and the loneliness comes up.
Well, you're helping to take that away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Becky said it, you know, it's really burning on our hearts. I think about it, you know, we're the body of Christ, right? So if Adria in Kentucky's hurting, I'm hurting. And we have to build community because the world's busy and things are moving fast. And I mean, we look at how connected everybody is, connected online. And yet we have the loneliest population we've probably ever had.
Well, and I like how you were talking about we are the body of Christ. And if Adria is hurting, then you are hurting. And I am hurting. We're all hurting. And the mystery behind the mystical body of Christ, that we are all joined together, also means that that is where Satan is going to attack. We have to remember that we all have the same goal. We're all seeking holiness, and we all want everybody to get to heaven with us. And so keeping ourselves bonded in a beautiful way, recognizing everyone's uniqueness, is, and that everybody's on their own journey, and it's going to look different for everyone, that I think this is so important to keep us strong rather than dividing over issues that we don't need to be dividing over. It's not for me to judge.
To clarify, who are we to judge is that balance of we are not to judge a person's soul ever. We are not ever in a position to say whether they are worthy or unworthy or of their soul. However, we are called to point in the right direction if a situation is dangerous. Like, we have that a lot as parents, right? Mm-hmm. And we're called to be observant. We're called to make judgment decisions. I remember a story, a friend, her son was in kindergarten and he kept being asked to go over to this house to play. And the mom really didn't feel comfortable. There were some situations going on in the home, and rightfully so, like unsupervised issues that were of a concern. And he was very young. And she said, "Oh, but I feel so judgmental." I said, "But no, you're not saying, right, you're called to be, you're called to make that judgment that maybe that's an unsafe place for your child to be. That's totally different than you saying, hey, that Brown family, they're all going to hell because they don't have it together. That's totally different, right? And so, but I think that we as Christians and as Catholics, most notably, have been put into a position where we always want to move from compassion, and then that sometimes can be turned on us if we even say something that isn't, in their view, compassionate, because it's hard. You know, what did St. Teresa of Avila say to Jesus in her ecstasies, right? Like, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And Jesus loves all the time. And sometimes it's tough love. Yes, he said, "I love you all the time. Now go and sin no more." So right. It's we've got to always be balanced in that.
You do care about their soul. You know, you do want to see them in heaven. And that's why, it's not the judgmental part at all. It's that you do care.
Mm-hmm. And that's In a very relativistic world that we live in, people mistaken that. It's like, no. My desire is for you to go to heaven. And when I see you doing something that I know is going to hurt your soul, then I don't love you if I don't say it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's really awesome ways to say it, right? Like, hey, I love you. I totally respect you. And in that spirit of friendship, I'm really concerned about this. You know, how can anybody not at least have an open heart to hear what that person has to say? They can totally disagree with them, but it started out from this loving position,
right? But people, when they don't feel, people just automatically go to feeling attacked and not understood.
Especially when it's something that they don't want to give up or they don't want to stop doing.
Oh, yeah.
Correct. Right.
That reminds me of the story of the woman at the well. You know, how Jesus approached her, and it was such a clever way that he did that. And so just unique in how he approached her and asked her for water and how, you know, he wouldn't even be talking to a person like that, but wanted to give before he then said, "Oh, and you know, I know that you don't, that's not your husband, and you have that," you know, and he has all these other things that he's bringing up about her, that, but he wanted to lead her to the way out of kindness and love and showing love first.
That's right. Right. He connected with her.
Yeah.
He showed and revealed her dignity first, and he befriended her first. And and really that goes back to, I can't remember who said this, maybe somebody will point it out to me, but it's that line of, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yeah. So it's always in that element of truly caring for them first. And that's what he did. Have you ever been in a position where with a friend where you kind of had to give them some hard to chew on loving recommendations?
My best friend for probably 15 years decided to have a an affair with a married man. And I couldn't be okay with that. I couldn't have that be around my family. And she didn't, when I tried to talk to her about it and things, she did not respond well. And we eventually stopped being friends. And it's very sad, but
yeah,
you know, you just can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very brave of you. Very brave.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to go along or to,
I don't know if you call it brave, but
it's very hard to stand by and watch somebody entering into something that is going to produce damage in so many ways, not just to herself, to this man, to his wife, to the children. I mean, that's just
something
so tragic. And you move through that the right way. And, you know, what did Jesus say? He said, I came to divide. I don't like that reading, by the way. I never did. I always struggle with that. His following him doesn't mean just following him. It means climbing on the cross with him. In your case, Christy, you know, losing something that was important to you.
Yeah. Difficult, but, you know, you have to know what is right for you and for your family. And it's such a hard choice when you know it's something that you really still want to have, you know? Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, too, I'd like to offer you encouragement in thinking about the witness that you just lived out. How many times in our life are we really able to live out and witness our faith in a bold way like that?
Well, it makes me think.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the scripture where we're told that if we follow Jesus, we will be rewarded 100-fold. And that is not in a health, wealth, or prosperity kind of way. That's in an eternal kind of way. And the body of Christ is eternal. You might not see it now in this fleshly, worldly way, and you may still be hurting. But it doesn't mean you're not going to be rewarded 100-fold for that. And you may see it.
Oh, well, that was like a kind of heavy thing. I'm wondering if you guys ever laugh with your friends.
Anyway, isn't this about laughter too?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You got to laugh, right? I mean, literally.
You have to.
You have to, because otherwise you are crying. There's really not a midpoint sometimes.
Yes. You just have to sit and laugh, and you can't. When things are crazy and the circus is going on in your house, you just have to join in. And
that's so true. I've always said that if someone can make me laugh, I instantly love them. You know, it's just there's something about a funny, witty person that is just so charming and so instantly like, I want to be around them. I like that. That's who I want to be friends with.
That's the only reason I'm friends with Becky.
Yeah. Well, I do love to laugh. And I feel like if I can make you laugh, then I've done my job.
Well, you did your job today. And ladies, it's been so nice meeting you. I feel like I just made two friends and to have the conversations. And thanks for sharing what you shared. Thanks for talking about praying for friends and the difficulty in pointing friends in the right direction, and also sharing laughter and sharing the ways in which you guys laugh. So, Adria and Christy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you. This was a delight.
Well, Becky, I think we were really fortunate to have both Adria and Christy on. They had some really interesting perspectives on friendship and laughter. And it was awesome because I think we really touched on a lot of what we discussed in the original podcast. I love when Christy said, you know, I hadn't really thought to pray that prayer, to pray for good friends. And it's certainly worked in my life. So I think it's great that someone else is doing it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting how it came up to just by chance, that topic of having to share something with a friend that might be a hard to chew on piece of direction. Mm-hmm. And always because we love them. And what we risk and the cost of that, I'm holding her in prayer because I can hear her heart is still, it's hard.
That was many years ago too. I mean, when you lose those friendships, when you're so close, you know, the pain of the loss just doesn't go away, even though you know that it just can't be the same.
The pain in her heart that she has for the loss of that friend surely is less than the pain in her heart that she would have if she condoned that action.
Well, guys, we're so thankful that you got to join us today. We were thankful to have guests Christy and Adria. Glad we got to introduce you all to them. Such wonderful sisters in Christ and part of our community. Well, we're excited this episode will air on Easter Monday. So in honor of our Christ, I want to say he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And we're so thankful that you guys joined us again this week for Thriving in the Trenches podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. You can also find us at thrivinginthetrenches.com, where you can find all the show notes to this episode and all the previous episodes. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and our episodes will be dropped right to your podcast app every Monday morning. So thanks for coming, guys.